At this time, our pastor, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins.
You may be seated. This reminds me of the way the 12 tribes, what few of them did, honored King David, one of Yahweh's servants. It reminds me of Yahshua when he came into Jerusalem, the joy and gladness that we've experienced here at this feast is just really outstanding. And you've certainly fulfilled what Yahweh showed you in the purple, and I still hate to say it, but we still going to see the worst things yet to come in the coming months. It is getting bad, and I suspect it's going to get bad rapidly now. And then, of course, the more the minds are confused with the sickness and disease and the eating of unclean foods, following the priests that eat swine. Now it's kind of a roundabout thing, but the dogs are eating the people who die now, many of them, and where they can't bury them, they don't have time, I guess, to bury them deep enough, so the dogs are digging them up and eating them. But the what's going into that dog's body also comes out his tongue, and people like to let the dogs lick their faces. You see that on television all the time with the city dog pounds, and they're trying to sell the dogs. But you're getting poison in every angle here now. It reminds me of a proverb, a very wise proverb, that a wise man reverences Yahweh and turns from evil. Now, if you'll ever place you see that word evil or hear it or read it, think of Genesis 3 verse 5, where Satan says, "Be evil like the gods." Be evil like the gods. Well, that's part of it. Guarding yourself, a wise man reverences Yahweh and turns from evil, but a fool rushes on in, and of course, thinking it won't happen to me. Well, it's out there, and it's getting worse every day. So don't try to tempt Yahweh. This is what Yahshua said. Satan told him to jump off a building if he thought he was the Savior, because Yahweh would promise protection, because it is written, and Yahshua said, it's also written that you're not to tempt Yahweh. That's mistranslated a little, but that's the closest word they could find to it. The diseases, I think I would take the long way around Dallas if you're going back that way. But this could spread to every city now. It could spread rapidly, as it's doing in other nations. And of course, the other nations are, it's killing, they say, 70% now of its victims. That's a huge number of people, and if it got this way here, The people's immune systems right now in America are really weak. They're living on drugs. There's many, many articles that are out, government reports showing how to build your immune system. So it's out to the world, but they can't get anyone to pay attention to it, they say, and they put fruit in the schools and it rots and they throw it in the trash cans because the children don't want it. And if there's a nearby McDonald's, that's where they go to instead of eating the fruit, the free fruit that's set on the plates. Of course, if you've been reading about the fruit, it's poison too. We spent several hours, I said we, Ria Chiquina spent several hours, her and her crew, getting the wax and poison off of the apples before we hung them on the sukkahs. But we got it off. But grapes are some of the worst things you could eat. The poisons that's on these grapes, it's impossible to clean, seems like. And then some of the vegetables, they even have signs up in the supermarkets that these things are poison, and they have some spray, liquid soap, I guess it is. I didn't buy the vegetables and I didn't buy the liquid soap, but it says it will help get it off. It's like the water. Don't drink this water. Well, what are you supposed to drink? You know, don't eat the fish that comes out of this lake. That's what the Great Lakes, the signs around the Great Lakes said when we were approaching the docks. So this has been many years ago. But it said, don't eat more than 4 ounces of this fish because it contains mercury. So you can see the world is slowly getting poisoned, worse with poison, worse with STDs. Well, the poison actually comes from STDs. If you're keeping up on it, you know that they use bacteria that causes infections and put it in drugs to kill other infection. And of course, they change it up enough to where it's supposed to kill just the bugs you don't want, but it's also damaging the organs in your body. So everything is going downhill and it's going down rapidly. If this Ebola got a foothold, which it looks like it may, because they're having trouble tracking people down. If you could think, these poor people, there's 132 of them on that plane, and they're asking for them to come to the hospital, I think I would run too. I think I would hide. You go to the hospital, and what do you get? You get a big bill, you get quarantined, your family gets quarantined, and this is what they're thinking about, what they're going to have to go through. So they'll say, well, if I get it, then I'll go to the hospital. They're running from these places. But if they get it, then they'll spread it to others, and they've been spreading it for quite some time, and they don't even know now whether you can spread it before the symptoms start. But some of the doctors are saying you can, that you can actually spread it. You can be talking to a person that don't even know he's got Ebola, and 15 days later, you may have symptoms yourself. And the people that they're trying to track down, they're wanting to get them and quarantine them until they find out whether or not they got it. Well, even if they find out whether or not they got it, you can see 132 people. Now, how many people did you talk to before you came here to this hospital? See, so you can see how it multiplies. It could multiply big time. And with the United States, as weak as it is, look at the people it's killing in other nations, that their immune system is much greater than ours, but it's killing 70% of them. So, you know, the people in America are weak already from their activities, the scientists are telling them this, but they don't want to change their activities. So now the scientists, 32,000, I believe it's 32,000 of them, signed a petition to take their problem to the Pope for moral strength. It's like the rooster going to the chicken, to the fox, to get help for his hens, you know? But moral strength coming from the Catholic Church is worthless, of course. They put signs up in the front yard hoping someone will pray for rain that's coming by that's in contact with their God, because they know they're not in contact with their gods. It's so ridiculous what is coming forth from Christianity now. And of course, we've been talking about it because we're the one that's opposing Babylon and telling how confused they are. Confusion has taken over. In fact, when they were reporting what was taking place in the wars, they had the confusion on RT was the very first word. And they don't know what to do. The wars are keep getting worse. They're underestimating the enemy. Well, they're underestimating the sickness too. But I don't want you to do that. Yahweh doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to guard yourself. Don't take the easy way out, and don't start thinking that you can't get this, you know. Don't run into a foolish danger like a fool. Proverbs, I think that's 14:16, the best I remember, but it's been a few years since I've read it, but I think that's right, 14:16. But see the danger and flee from it, get away from it, the evil. That is the danger, the evil that Satan and the Catholic Church is teaching. We have that, and then we have the confusion that's causing the shootouts. You see it, I think they said most of it, of course, is being hidden. But I was reading an article the other day how many school shootings they'd had since Sandy Hook, and it was like 74, and you know, very few of them are reported. Unless someone kills a large number of people, they don't report it. But you don't know when you're walking down the street or driving down the street, people are getting shot in their cars. Here in Abilene, just a few weeks ago, a man was going to work in his pickup truck and got shot and killed. As far as I know, there's been no arrests made in that case. And of course, there's hundreds of others that's here in Abilene also, and Abilene is not that large a town. But imagine what it's like in Dallas, what it's like in the large cities. And I see these pictures where, I know I was in New York a few times at the UN meeting, and when we would go from the UN to the hotel, is like wall to wall, or you know, people. It's just you were rubbing elbows and front and back and everything. You know, the crowd's going up and down the sidewalk. So they don't want you to think that you can get these diseases that way, but you can get those diseases that way, and this is what the doctors are now saying. You can get it from a person's breath. He doesn't have to cough. He could be talking to you 4 feet away or 3 feet away and give you Ebola. I noticed some people wearing masks in Abilene, the veils. I thought, you know, this is a switch, because the Catholic Church is trying to knock out veils, and now here they may start recommending them again for their nuns. That's another laugh, of course, or the cardinals, but it looks like it might be a wise thing to start to start thinking about if you got to go into a store. Sometimes you can't come out of the world always, all the way. Now here we're working to do that, and we have made many steps, as you know. The fish that you had for dinner, that was, I think that was the best fish I've ever eaten in my life. Of course, it could be because our cooks are the best cooks in the world, too. Yeah. But those were caught with our fishermen's own hands and donated to the house. Praise Yahweh. The red deer was raised on our property. The antelope that we had was raised on our properties. Some of the beef was raised here, and some of it was came from a dairy nearby. Dairy owned, of course, or managed by someone in the house, and donated a few cows. But we are slowly but surely coming out of this world. If we own Texas right now, and you had the job to clean up Dallas, I know you'd know where to start. I know this. Cooperation is our biggest challenge. The world is taught, the women are taught to be independent. The men are taught the same things. And of course, and they are, as far as they have control. They want them to be independent except for the corporations that use them to make money, big money from them. But they're raised with an attitude of independence. Self-willed is one of the Timothy wrote, and stubborn, high-minded, making their own decisions and never listening to any wisdom of Yahweh. And of course, the letters that I write, I've been trying to get the world to see the great wisdom that they're passing up by refusing the Holy Scriptures. The being that created the earth and mankind and placed the earth on its foundation so it won't move, it won't, even with the planets hitting it and everything, it stays right in place. And even if it gets jolted, it comes right back, goes right back to the same speed. And of course, you're the only one that knows how that takes place. The rest of the world couldn't figure it out in another 100,000 years or whatever, because they reject the knowledge that Yahweh gives them on it. So that blocks them from ever knowing anything. When the Book of Yahweh, Isaiah 34:16, when the Book of Yahweh was taken away from the people, and that's what took place. It was read daily in what they called the temple, which was once called the house of Yahweh. It was read daily, but it was taken away from the people starting 70 CE. The temple was destroyed. The Book of Yahweh, or books of Yahweh, in fact, all the manuscripts that they could find, was taken to Rome along with the seven lampstand, and all the artifacts in the temple was taken to Rome. And then, of course, they locked it up. Well, that was the seal that Daniel was speaking of. Take it away, seal up the books. Don't let them have it anymore until, and then he showed Daniel two others that would be teaching, of course, that Book of Yahweh. From 1970, you might be interested, those who are working numbers on these things, but from 70 CE till 1987. That's when the Book of Yahweh was finally put back in the hands of the people. By the house of Yahweh, of course. That's almost 2,000 years. My calculations are not with me, or I would go ahead and and peel it off, but my mind is a little bit slow right now. But the Book of Yahweh was taken away. And of course, man, in his own foolishness, he was diminished to his own foolishness. And of course, that went to a reprobate mind, as the Apostle Shaul said in Romans, the first chapter. He was just turned over to a reprobate mind. Well, without a law that says don't do this, the person wouldn't know. The earth is fastened by law. Science knows that the microorganisms are governed by law. Well, of course, they can only do, they can be joyous in their cell, and they can do their work in their cell, but they can't get out of that cell and go milk a cow or kill a dog or kill a person unless someone or something changes them, changes the kingdom, and starts it to acting outside the law that Yahweh gave them. Now, of course, this is what Satan is trying to do to the earth, you know. She's trying to destroy the firmament, which is part of the foundation of the earth, of course, and feeds the earth, in fact, and brings the light and the heat and so forth. But all of these things are being destroyed by Satan. Now we're seeing in our own bodies what this is doing, because the sickness and disease that this is causing. We see the world, everybody in the world is sick. You may see them walking down the street, you know, and talking on the phone. You won't know they're sick because you don't feel the pain they're going through. The woman that I told you about this morning, I mean, she looked like a healthy woman. You could look at her and she didn't. The one that said she had set a date to where her and her husband was going to visit a doctor. It's all legal and binding now, so she's going to go on this certain date at a certain time and let the doctor take her life. But you wouldn't know by looking at that woman. I mean, she was smiling when she was on the camera, but the woman was living in misery. Now, any one of you could be doing that same thing tomorrow. If you got some of these diseases, it can break down overnight in your body. And the next morning, you're wondering, why am I bleeding here? Next morning, you're wondering, why can't I breathe? Why am I having so much trouble breathing? Why am I having so much trouble using the restroom? Why am I stumbling when I walk? You know, you can break down at any time. Well, of course, that's the sickness and disease that the whole world is suffering right now. They're not well. They're worse than you are. If you've been here 6 months and you've been working on things that we've told you to work on, then you're getting healthier. You may not be getting rid of the diseases, depending on what you've done. That four oils is one of those things that can help you a lot. There's other oils that the Life Nutrition, General Store, different ones can give you the advice of registered doctors that are licensed to tell you what works for other people, what has worked for other people. But there's great benefit in them. I wanted some information brought to you this feast on honey. It's one of the best things you can put in your body if you get natural honey. If you get artificial honey, then it's worthless. In fact, it could make a wound worse than by using it. But if you can get the natural honey that you could get it here if you wanted to before you leave, and I'd advise if you don't have it to get it, from your livers. Your liver fights a lot of damage that is coming from the world today. In the information that is available, what it says, I'm afraid to say too much, but in the information that's available, it says if you will start taking a teaspoonful, or if you're a large person, a tablespoonful of raw honey just before you go to bed. And it will go into your liver will grab hold of it, and it'll start healing itself. The liver will fight off. It will build your immune system, brethren. Your digestive system is suffering right now, like the firmament is suffering. And yes, it has microbursts too. And if it's suffering, and I hope I said that plain enough this morning that you know what I'm speaking of. If you take honey and take the, I think it's called Ceylon cinnamon, which they can get you some. They may not get you the powder, but they can get you the sticks right now. It's hard to come by. The other works, I know, because I used it before I got the organic stuff, organic cinnamon. If you take that honey and instead of eating jelly after breakfast on your toast or whatever, put some honey on your toast and put some of that, about a half a teaspoon of cinnamon on that, and you'll be surprised what a relief it brings to the microburst in your stomach digestive system. Well, praise Yahweh. But there's much more on it than that. I'm just giving you a little, hoping that you will get the information or request the information and let us send it to you. We were so filled here at the feast this time with everything was trying to cram in. Everyone was working overtime, and there was a lot of things that we didn't get to bring, a knowledge, wisdom from Yahweh that we didn't get to bring, but we'll be bringing it from time to time, from Sabbath to Sabbath, of course. I'm going to have to shut it off because we got to sprinkle, but if you'll all stand, I want to have prayer with you, and then we will sprinkle. That's something that will help you immensely. You won't feel it, you won't know it, but I can tell you for sure, if you're a fool if you don't believe what the prophets have spoken about this ashes of the red heifer. It's a wonderful thing that Yahweh has given us. Yes. It saved a bunch of people whose ancestors were trying to keep the laws and kept the black plague off of them. They didn't know what kept it off of them, but we know what kept that death off of them. And of course, we're going to sprinkle again here right after sundown, which ends in just a few minutes. So don't miss out on that. If you got it the first time, you can get it the second time, and it's complete. If you'll all lift your hands to Yahweh, our Father in heaven, whose name is Yahweh, this is Israel Hawkins, Father, your last day's witness, coming to you, Father, with all the priests, all the future priests, with your whole house, Father, the whole house of Yahweh, coming to you, Father, on this last great day, at the near the end of the last great day, and the last few minutes of the end of the last great day. We're coming to you, Father, joyous. We also come into you, Father, needing your help, and your guidance, your protection. We ask for all of our daily needs, Father, from not just daily, but from this moment on. We need your inspiration every minute to keep us, Father, from sinning. Keep us from putting our lives in danger and the people around us in danger. To keep us from the dangers of this world. Keep us alive and well and witnessing. I pray, Father, that none of our group must die, catch this sickness and die, to show, to bring proof that that it will, if we step out of line, or if we don't use your great wisdom to keep ourselves safe and joyous. It's a long time from now till the Feast of Passover. We know the dangers that are increasing. We can see them daily on the news. We're asking, Father, for your protection upon your people. We know that this is the protected place. We know that soon you'll be bringing all of your people here to this place. We know, Father, that you're with us here today and has brought us joy at this great Feast of Tabernacles, and we praise you for it. We ask you, Father, to look down upon everyone here with mercy. Forgive us, Father, our weaknesses, our sins, our stupidity, our ignorance. Forgive us our transgressions and trespasses. Father, strengthen us and inspire us so we can turn totally from sin. And as Yahshua, our high priest, said, sin no more. This is what we want in our lives. We want sinless lives, as you've shown us, and recognize that we're practicing your law and showed us the purple which we're wearing at this time, and we praise you for it. Father in heaven, we thank you for a joyous feast. We thank you for everything you've done and everything you've planned for your house and for the future of your house. We know, Father, that you offer us your protection for the purpose of bringing forth your work, bringing forth a huge amount of people in these last days, a gathering such as never has been before in the history of mankind, that will be used throughout all eternity, Father, to restore and rebuild and bring health and joy to mankind and, of course, to the universe. We bless you and praise you, Father, for everything. We give you thanks. We ask for all of our needs, all in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
One time at the count of three. One, two, three.
Hallelujah, Yahweh!
Yahweh bless you. Let's get ready to get sprinkled.